The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the College Basketball Experience. March Madness is heating up, and you need to subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. It's awesome, baby.
Howdy-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 304 goes out to Kevin Durant. He's my guy, Kevin Durant, now that he's on the Phoenix Suns, and I have not dedicated an episode to him yet, and he's taking the court, or he took the court, because it's Thursday already. He took the court last night against, I can't remember who they're playing, and I'm sure he did. I'm sure he got fantastic. He did really, really good, because we are not doing this in advance, and I know he did really good. So this goes out to Kevin Durant, because he needs more things to go right in his life, for sure. Thanks for coming to the show. I am Jeff Chalks Fox, one of the hosts here. This is not a Kevin Durant podcast. This is a UFC podcast, and we have a big one this week. The UFC's edition is up, UFC 285 on Saturday. We did all the prelims, all 9 prelim fights yesterday, so make sure you go back and check out that podcast. This one is all about the main card, the pay-per-view portion, including our locks, dogs, props, and Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay. Can't do any of it without the brains behind the operation, Daniel Gumby-Reeland. So let's bring him in now. Hello.
Hey.
What are you going to push back on there?
Maybe that Durant did well.
He probably didn't play much, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's getting his feet wet in a new place. So maybe he had a light day.
Yeah, we haven't looked at the box score yet. That's what I haven't recorded. Yeah, that's what happened.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. Is John Jones pulled out yet? Do we know that yet?
As of recording, I think we've dealt with 4 days of Vegas Jones, though. Vegas John is a scary proposition.
It's true. Even Dana White said that, and that's when you know it's a thing if Dana White's willing to admit it. Hopefully it is still a go as we're speaking to you here, because it's a very interesting fight, one that I think I'm speaking on your behalf as well. It's a hard one to pick the main event, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty hard one to pick. Yeah.
But we don't start the main event. We start at the starting of the card, and we move our way up there. So we should do that soon. Maybe in case people didn't listen to last episode, which they should, maybe you should remind everyone about the contest we have going on.
Yeah, make sure to pop in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, and check out our props contest. There's still chances to win, even if you haven't gotten in on it before. So make sure you pop in there, check out all the rules, and get your props ready.
Someone's got to take down Dredney. Because Dredney is being a bully in there, and he's winning. He's not a bully on the Discord. He's a bully in the contest, because he just wins and wins and wins. He hasn't won anything yet. He's in the lead. How about we'll say that?
He's getting pretty close to clinching.
he's got some big hits there. He hasn't hit for a few weeks at least, right?
He hit last week. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. This man is unstoppable.
He had Tatiana Suarez by submission.
Ever since he changed his avatar to Fiona Apple, he's unstoppable. So it's got to be that. All right, maybe before we move on, hey, maybe that can be your musical artist for March, Dan, Fiona Apple.
I know Fiona Apple.
It has to be someone you don't know.
Dan listens to
new music every month, and he gets really mad when I ask him who he's listening to, because apparently he doesn't decide until the middle of the month. I'm supposed to know these things and remember. So he got all snippy with me. So anyhow. Listen to Fiona Apple.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Also, go to WynnBET. How about WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays, aka WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. March Madness is almost here. Plus, they have plenty of ways to win, getting down on the NBA, NHL, or XFL. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100 to get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for degens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Definitely get into the SGPN merch store as well, because the merch store continues to add new items to the store every day. Head over to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com to get your favorite shirts, hats, sweats, and hoodies. Definitely going to want to get some MMA gambling podcast gear. Definitely going to want to get some gear for the March basketball that is happening very soon. We have a lot of shirts playing off of that. Lots of fun stuff. So lots of new items, as I said. So check that out. There's a new St. Patrick's Day shirt in there too. So make sure you get in to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. All right. Want to hear some good news, Gumby?
Sure.
This was 20 to 25 centimeters of snow on Friday.
Do you want to put that in real measurements for us?
For you Americans, let me see. I'm going to Google and notice what that means.
I think that's about 8 inches, right?
8 to 10 inches of snow.
Yeah. I'm actually good with the conversion. Okay. I know I was knocking you there, but yeah, I got it.
Yeah. The kids just missed school on Monday because so much snow and ice, and looks like they're going to miss school on Friday again too. They're having like 3 day school weeks constantly. It's great. That's great.
That's good stuff.
It is great.
And some of it's because you guys keep making up holidays like Family Day.
Yeah, the American complains about our holidays. President's Day coming up, right? Because some presidents were born once.
Already done. We already got through that. We don't have any March holidays that we get time off for.
St. Patrick's Day should have off, right?
Yeah, no, that's just the Irish, I think.
That's true. March Madness as well. All right, you should have, after this weekend, this big bash of a weekend, everyone's going to act like John Jones. They're going to need Monday off. UFC 285 Jones versus Gain is this weekend. March 4th, T-Mobile Arena, Paradise, Nevada. It's going to happen, right?
I think so.
Okay. All right, because Connor at Heavy Hands has been he's been saying John Jones is going to pull out. He's still saying it now, even though we're a few days away from the event. So,
well, if he does, they apparently have a backup.
Yes, true. Sergey Pavlovich. You almost had it right. You predicted it was going to be his opponent, Blades, but instead it's Pavlovich.
Yeah, I knew it was somebody from that matchup.
Yeah, no one's going to want to fight Blades, especially on short notice. So, yeah, I can see that. All right, we're going to start with a squash match. Middleweight, Bo Nickel debuting right in the pay-per-view portion of the card. This is his debut against Jamie Pickett, the Night Wolf, making his return. Pickett, the Night Wolf, is 13-8. 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. 2-4 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. He won 2 before that. So he lost 2, won 2. The other way around. Last 2 L's are all via finish. He's gone 1-2. Went 1-2 in the contender series. Is he the only 3 timer? No, there's a heavyweight that went 3 times too, wasn't there?
Dontayle Mays, right?
Right. I thought it was someone we just talked about. He's fight at light heavyweight. Was a regional champion, 2011 Pro MMA debut, inch height, 4 inches of reach over Nickel. He's been outstruck over his UFC and Contender Series career. That's an extensive Contender Series career by 1.11 strikes per minute, plus 995. And that number's come down since I originally did this on Monday. The Allen Assassin is Bo Nickel. I always want to read Alien Assassin. Could he be an Alien Assassin as well?
Sure, why not?
He's going to feel that way to Pickett when he gets in the cage. This guy's an alien. He's 3-0 with 1 knockout, 2 submissions. This is his UFC debut. He went 2-0 in Contender Series because they didn't know how good he was, right, the first time?
Nah, they knew.
Yeah. Wrestling world champion as well. 8 years younger than Pickett. Striking and active striking stats and grappling stats all in his favor over Pickett. He, listen to this stat, over his 2 Contender Series fights, his strike differential is plus 3.68 strikes per minute, and he was not hit in either fight, according to the official stats, so he's never been hit. Minus 2190, and like I said, that number has come down. It's not going to come down thanks to me, because I'm picking a Nickel. Actually, I'm not putting money on this. I'm not putting money on a number that low. Maybe a finish prop, but I'm sure that's going to be sky high as well. But yeah, Nickel is the obvious pick here, and they're giving him a layup to start off.
Yeah. Do you know what you would win on a $100 bet if we're going by our usual
thing?
Are
you good at conversion? Are you good at math as well?
Yeah, right? It's $4.57. I think it's 57 cents.
So that is what we're going to win then.
Yeah. He's going to
win this game.
Yeah. And again, here's the way I would bet this though, because obviously everybody isn't tuning in to hear us say Bo Nickel is going to win and Jamie Pickett is not, like, that's not terribly exciting. But if you're looking for a way to bet this and you want skin in the game on this fight because you like Bo Nickel, or you're just one of those degens who has to have skin on everything, I think the play here is Bo Nickel by submission. You know, like while he went out there and scored a knockout just to kind of like say he could and to like, you know, show he was well-rounded in that fight. Like, I do think that submission game is going to be like his game. And we've seen it in two fights in a row, right? Like even though he knocked down Donovan Beard, he went for the submission at the end, because he wanted that finish. I think that's the finish that's going to present itself. And if you're looking to find, you know, odds on that, you know, I'm looking around, you can find them in a whole bunch of different places, cause obviously people release their props at different times, but we're talking like -145, -150 for Bo Nickel by submission, which again, you're paying negative money for a prop, but for a guy who's a 21-1 favorite, like that's not a bad number. And I think that's how he's going to get it done.
All right. If you say so. Yeah. But what was it? Minus what?
What? 140, 150, all somewhere right. in that range.
So we're not entering that in the contest then, cause that will not, not cut it for you. All right. And that's just submission too. What's his finish? Prop number.
That one's quite a bit higher if I saw correctly. Let's see. Bo Nickel wins inside the distance -700 almost.
Oh my god.
Yeah, when you add the KO to it too, it shoots pretty high. So that's why I said I think submission is probably the right way to play this one.
Yeah. All right. Jamie Pickett being disrespected, Dan. All right. Here's a fun matchup. This one should be hopefully much closer. Lightweights, Matthias or Mateusz Gamrot versus Jalen Turner. Like I said, fun fight. We're gonna tell you about the Tarantula Turner first. He's 13-5, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he's finished all of his wins. He's been knocked out 3 times, 6-2 in the UFC. However, he's won 5 straight fights. He used to fight up at welterweight. He went 1-0 in the Contender Series, 2-0 in Bellator, and 1-0 in World Series of Fighting. 5 inches taller than Gamrot, 7 inches reach on him, and 5 years younger than him as well. He's twice more active landing strikes than Gamrot is. He has outstruck his opponents by 2.17 strikes per minute. He's at +180. Gamer, Gamrot, 21-2 with 1 no contest, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 4-2 in the UFC. He lost his last fight. He's taking this one on short notice. He was a KSW champion at 2 different weight classes because he used to fight down at featherweight. 2012 pro MMA debut, grappling champion as well. Striking stats better than Turner's. He's been outstruck barely over his UFC career by -0.08 strikes per minute. He's at -220. We'll go over to you.
Yeah, I'm going chalk here. I like Matthews Gamrot. I for a second entertained the idea of liking Jalen Turner in this fight because of his length and because he's not taking this fight on short notice. And, you know, there's all kinds of factors where you'd be like, maybe scoot in here on Jalen Turner. But the problem for me is Jalen Turner just hasn't shown me that he can deal with somebody who chain wrestles like Matthews Gamrot. Gamrot is so good in the grappling department. This is a guy who's gone toe-to-toe with Beneil Dariush. He's gone toe-to-toe and beat Armin Sarukian in that realm. He went toe-to-toe with Diego Fajeda. He's basically coming off of 3 straight fights where he fought maybe 3 of the best, like, pure, like, wrestle grapplers, right? Because I'm not going to say just, like, pure jiu-jitsu guys, because then you'd have to involve Charles Oliveira. But if we're talking about guys who can, like, wrestle and do jiu-jitsu really well, he might have just fought 3 of the best in the division in a row, or at least, like, 3 out of the top 5, let's say. And we're talking about a Jalen Turner who, you know, Brock Weaver countered him on the ground after being knocked down and then took him down himself. You know, Brock Weaver, not even with the UFC anymore. You know, Matt Frivola just kind of ragdolled Jalen Turner and, you know, took him down 4 times and had 6 minutes of top control or something like that. Like, I don't know. I really like the idea of Turner being better from distance, but it's not like Gamrot has shown, like, his chin can't take a shot or two. And he's so good chaining those takedowns together. So, yeah, I like Gamrot here.
I'm going Turner. I love Jalen Turner.
I thought you were going to.
Yeah, I love Jalen Turner. He's such a good fighter. And he's good everywhere. He's going to be way bigger than Gamrot. But, yeah, Gamrot's tough. Like, he's a gamer, Dan.
He is a gamer.
Yeah, but I like the underdog number. I like the fact that Gamrot is on short notice as well. Because I'll remind you, short notice, 37% hit rate for people coming in on short notice. This year, they're doing a bit better, 56%. But I think Turner is worth a roll of the dice here. Dangerous fighter. Tough matchup for him, but I think the short notice is going to help him out a bit. So we shall see. We shall see. Walter Waits, Jeff Neal versus Shav Khachmanov. I'll tell you about Neal. Hands of steel, Neal. Hands with the Z of steel. 15-4, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 7-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He won his last review knockout. Used to fight at middleweight. 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's missed weight at welterweight twice. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's more than 2 times more active landing strikes than Khachmanov. However, he's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.01 strikes a minute. So basically a wash. He gets what he receives. He's at plus 385. Nomad Khachmanov, 16-0, 8 knockouts, 8 submissions. By my math, that means he's finished everyone. 4-0 in the UFC. He was the M1 champion before this and also a regional champion. 2 inches height, 2 inches reach on Neal. 4 years younger. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.15 strikes per minute. What else can I tell you? His grappling stats are better than Khachmanov's. He's at minus 530. Gumbo. No, it's me. Khachmanov is the pick. I love Shav Cat Khachmanov. Kind of a tough fight. I don't like the minus 530. I think it's closer than that. Neal is a very dangerous fighter, but I think Khachmanov can get the job done. But I'm staying away from minus 530.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I've warned a couple of people off this one for a parlay, too. Like, if you want to throw some of the other big, huge odds, you know, the Bo Nickel or the Ian Gary odds in there, or, you know, by all means. But this one is kind of a stay away from for me because, yeah, he's a hot prospect. I do think he's really good. You know, the way he throws his hands is really deadly. The fact that he can mix in great submission skills makes me favor him over Jeff Neal. But, man, you know, Jeff Neal coming off of a win over Vicente Luque. Like, man, it's hard to fade a guy who just went in there and put out Vicente Luque. You know, like there's so many reasons to like him for that. But, yeah, I like the length of Khachmanov. I like the submission game of him. I'm going to pick him to win. But yet 530 is just not a price tag I'm paying on this fight.
Yep. Agreed. Will he wear a cool hat, Dan?
Of course. He always does.
Of course. That. What's the money? Yeah, you can't get a good line on that, I guess, can you?
It depends on the type of book you have.
It's probably a given, though, that he's going to wear his cool hat. All right. I'm going to tell you about something else that's cool. Once I open up my web browser that I have it on my phone here, I'm going to tell you about what's the other thing I'm going to tell you. Underdog Fantasy. That's what I'm going to tell you about. Because we are sponsored, also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is your home for off-season NFL best ball drafts. What's that, Dan?
A best ball draft?
What's an NFL best ball draft?
So it's when you draft a NFL roster and they give you just the best roster each and every week. So you don't have to set your lineup.
Okay. Gotcha. So whoever does best. Okay. Yes. I don't play best ball, so I wondered. I got you now. All right. But they also got you covered for a ton of other daily games, including NBA, NHL, and PGA. Underdog Fantasy is a great way to get down on your favorite player props if they're not available in your state. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And that's why Gumby is here. He always has the answer I'm looking for. That's why I always have co-hosts that always have answers on my shows. I can always pitch to them and they'll have an answer.
Yeah, I try.
Which is why my co-hosts always get good reviews and stuff, and they just say I'm the setup man. Also,
right? I think the last review was kind of, although I guess it was a setup man review for you when it said multiple regional championships on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's me. I made that up. It's true. Yeah, I thought you meant the one from the guy, maybe your brother.
Yeah, totally
slanted to you.
No, but that one, multiple regional championships on your mantle, although that is you setting me up, right?
That's right. Yes. That's true. I can't even remember how that started, but I'm glad it did, because apparently it's a fan favorite, so we'll have to
I do remember the origin of it.
Yeah?
You used to just say it all the time. You didn't used to kick it to me, and then you did try to kick it to me once, and it completely caught me off guard, and then we had like a 10-minute conversation about who the hell has mantles anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone does. You have one right behind you, don't you?
Yeah, it's sitting right next to me. Yeah,
exactly. I have shelves by me, but no mantles. So, all right.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This lady should have a mantle because she's got a lot of championships, a lot of guns, too. You think she has her guns all up on her mantle, too? Probably. Women's flyweight champion Valentina Shevchenko is back. It seems like it's been forever, right? Because she used to be one that would pretty consistent every few months. You'd see her, but not so much now. She's fighting Alexa Grasso, and this is for her 125-pound championship. Shevchenko's, of course. All right, challenger, Grasso, 15-3, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been submitted one time, so very durable fighter. 7-3 in the UFC. She won 4 straight and 5 of 6, which will get you into a title shot. Has not lost since September 2019. Oh, the good old days of there was no COVID yet. It hadn't leaked from the lab yet, right, Dan?
There had not been any COVID yet.
Yes. Oh, the good old days. You don't want to talk about lab leaks?
Lab leak isn't that a reference to baseball?
Leak. That could be a good title, lab leak. And then all the conspiracy people.
I thought you were saying lab league. There's a baseball podcast I listen to that talks regularly about lab league.
No, we're talking about it leaked from the lab, right? That's what the conspiracy people like to say.
Leak.
It leaked. Those Chinese scientists, right?
I'm gonna cut all this out.
We're gonna get so many. We're gonna get so many good reviews now.
I'm gonna cut this all.
All right, fine. Cut it. You won't hear my winning picks coming up when I pick Grasso. All right. What else can I tell you about her? She used to fight down at strawweight. That's an issue here. 4-0 in Invicta, 2012 pro MMA debut. 5 years younger than Shevchenko. 1.6 times more active landing strikes than the champion. She has outstruck her opponents by 1.12 strikes per minute. She's at plus 545. Bullet Shevchenko, 23-3, 8 knockouts, 7 submissions. She's been stopped one time, knocked out once. 12-2 in the UFC, 7 title defenses of her championship. She's won 9 straight fights. She's has not lost since September 2017. And her only UFC losses are to a woman named Amanda Nunes. I don't know why I did at the starting of it, but it sounded good. Right.
Sure.
It sounded great. She was up. You're cutting this out too. She was up at bantamweight at those for those fights. 2003, excuse me, pro MMA debut. 2-0 as a boxer. Okay, listen to this. This is why she needs the mantle as well, not just for her guns. Muay Thai world champion, judo champion, taekwondo champion, kickboxing champion, along with the UFC championships. Striking and grappling stats in her favor over Grasso. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 1.29 strikes per minute. And she's up minus 835, but for once, she's not the biggest line of the night on a fight card.
Almost by a third, right?
Yeah.
Almost 3 times bigger for Bo Nickel, which is crazy. Yeah, Shevchenko's the pick here, right? Like, that's definitely a number you could throw in a parlay here, because while I don't generally like, you know, dabbling on negative 800 numbers, she's got massive advantages over Grasso when it comes to grappling. And the thing that Grasso wants to do is like strike from range. And she's going to, you know, be in a huge size discrepancy here with Shevchenko, you know, looking like a bantamweight and having fought at bantamweight for a large portion of her career, and Grasso being a strawweight. So, you know, while I liked Grasso's kind of like run through the flyweight division, she's just never been the type of fighter who is going to give Shevchenko problems. You know, like Shevchenko needs to be beat by somebody, you know, Talia Santos wrote the blueprint on how to beat Valentina Shevchenko, and Alexa Grasso has none of the tools to follow that blueprint. So, yeah, give me Shevchenko here.
Yep. Doesn't matter if Shevchenko looked a little less than herself in the past few fights. Yeah. She's just the size alone, could win this fight for her over Grasso. And then you throw in all the other things that she's amazing at as well. So give me Shevchenko here. And now we go to our main event. And this is what a main event this is. Heavyweight championship of the world vacated. John Jones versus Cyril Gane. Apparently it's actually happening. Hopefully we're only a couple of days out now. Hopefully this fight does happen. You may have to cut all this out too, Dan, for all we know, right? We'll see. All right. Gane, Bon Gamin, good kid. I don't even have to ask. We've talked about this multiple regional times. He's 11-1, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in the fight. He's 8-1 in the UFC. His only loss of his career was to Francis Ngannou. He is was the interim champ, excuse me. Won his last fight via knockout. Was a regional champ before, 13-0 in Muay Thai and a champion there. 3 years younger than Jones. I was going to look this up, but I forgot. Is this the first time Jones has been the older man in a fight? You know that off the top of your head?
Maybe? I don't actually know the answer to that.
He was born in 87. This is another. People like looking things up. Who could have been younger than him? Dominic Reyes, possibly?
Dom Reyes, probably.
Reyes, 89. Okay, Reyes was younger than him. But that's probably the only time, right? Probably. Santos isn't. Smith isn't. Is he? No. Gustafsson? Probably not.
No, definitely not.
No, same age. So anyhow, yeah. Usually, what I'm saying is John Jones has gotten old, not right before our eyes. In the shadows, he's gotten old. Anyhow, Bong Amin, we're talking about. He's more active landing strikes than Jones is. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.86 strikes per minute. He's at plus 140. John Bones Jones. Who? This is the first time we've ever had to break down one of his fights, Dan. Right? This is it.
We've started this podcast.
And we've been around 304 episodes, so. We've done more Conor McGregor fights than John Jones. Jones is 26-1 with one no contest. He didn't really lose that fight. It was disqualification. In the no contest, he actually had won. He's got 10 knockouts, 6 submissions, never been finished in a fight. It looks like I said, disqualification for 12-6 elbows. He's 20-1 with one no contest in the UFC. He was a champion with 11 title defenses at light heavyweight. This is his first step up to heavyweight. He's won 4 straight fights. He's not fought since February of 2020. Was a regional champ before this. 2008 pro MMA debut. Was a wrestling champion in high school probably and college. Is a pro grappler. 3 inches of reach on Gain. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.08 strikes per minute. And he also has better grappling stats than Gain, minus 165. Let's fade John Jones, Dan. I'm taking Gain. There's just too many questions heading into this with John Jones. Obviously, he's, in my eyes, he's the greatest fighter of all time that we've seen in MMA, but he's not looked good, or he's not looked at his peak level over his last 3 fights, and they were many, many, many years ago. So we got the ring rust issue. We got the fact he's never fought at this weight with his new body. He's never fought anyone as big and strong and who can hit like a Cyril. Cyril Gane can. Grappling obviously is could be an issue if Jones decides to use his grappling, which he's not done in the past when he should have. So like I said, too many question marks for me going into this one. I'll take the plus money and take my chances with that.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Cyril Gane too. And the big piece for me at the end of the day here is, you know, I agree with you on most of those things, right? Like that I think that, you know, John Jones's ring rust is a problem, going up in weight is a problem. And I hear everybody saying that, like, he's just going to out-wrestle him, right? You know, Cyril got out-wrestled by Francis Ngannou. But also, like, Cyril got out-wrestled in that fight a lot because he didn't see it coming, right? Like, there were no signs that Francis Ngannou was, like, this stellar wrestler that nobody was going to catch. And the first takedown, to be fair, was just that he, like, caught one of Surreal's kicks. And then once he was like, oh, I have some top control here because Surreal's tired and we're in the championship rounds, he just kept going back to that. I don't know that Surreal is going to go into this fight and be shocked that John Jones is trying to take him down. And, you know, for the record, John Jones against like guys who are big and tall trying to take them down, he has not been really successful against like taller fighters. Like when he fought Dominic Reyes, he went 2 of 9 on those takedowns. That's not a good percentage against a guy who a lot of us don't think of as being a particularly adept offensive or defensive wrestler in Dominic Reyes. So like, yeah, I hear that the argument that could be how he wins. And I guess if he won that way, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing, but I really do think, you know, like the way that he goes to his wrestling and stuff like that just is not conducive to getting Cyril Gane down regularly. I think Surreal's going to keep this on the feet. And also, from a striking perspective, I just don't trust John Jones's fight IQ. And I know that, like, when somebody says, you know, John Jones, or, you know, who's got the best fight IQ, John Jones's name comes up all the time. Like, I don't necessarily agree. He almost gave that fight away to Thiago Santos. He almost gave that fight away to Dominic Reyes just by, like, never putting his foot on the gas, even when he was seemingly, like, in a safe enough position to do so. So, like, yeah, I'm going with you. I'm going to take a dog in the main event here. I'll take Cyril Gane.
Yeah, yeah, the fight IQ, maybe it was a thing back in the day when he was, like, a prodigy. But, yeah, he tends to get in almost like pissy matches with people and trying to beat them at their game, which worked for him back when he was, like I said, a prodigy and better and bigger and more athletic and stronger than everyone. But that's not going to be the case here.
Yeah, no. And you know, it definitely was a thing once upon a time, right? Like taking Rampage down and submitting Rampage and just deciding, hey, I'm not going to throw hands with Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, like, good. Don't. I'm not going to stand at distance with Loyola Machida. Let's clinch him against the cage. Like, good. Yep, that's good. But, like, you know, you're coasting to a split decision against Thiago Santos, who's standing on one leg.
Yeah, he ripped his knee apart, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was torn in, like, three spots. And he was like, oh, yeah, this is a nice decision. And one judge had it for Santos. You know, one judge had it for Santos. And the other two had given Santos at least two rounds. So, like... The fight IQ that we were once lauding, I think, is maybe not what we once thought it was.
Yeah, maybe the outside is bleeding into the inside of the cage now with this man. All right, I'll recap our picks, and then we will give you our locks, dogs, props, parlays, all the fun stuff. All right, we both have Gain as an underdog. We both have Shevchenko as opposite of an underdog. We both have Rakhmonov as a very big favorite as well. Dan has Gamrot, I have Turner as our underdog, and we both have Nickel as the biggest favorite. Is that the biggest favorite we've had? I've asked this before, I know.
But. I think it's got to be.
Yeah. And I'm more dogs than you again on the main card.
Look at that.
Crazy, eh? Crazy times. All right. Locks, dogs, props, all that fun stuff. I think I'm have to go first this week, and I got to pick ready. Tabitha Ricci, Baby Shark, is my lock pick, -315 over Jessica Penne.
All right. I like that one. I'm going to go with one at a little bit better of a price and one that you don't agree on.
Oh, well, that's not a good pick then.
Matthews Gamrot. I think we're going to see, a wrestling clinic here. And -220 is both a price I like and a fighter I just think is going to have kind of an easy time here.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts. I thought you were in on the Jalen Turner train, Dan.
I love Jalen Turner. I just think... And anybody who gets taken down four times and controlled for 6 minutes by Matt Frivola is going to have a really miserable time with Matthews Gamrot, whether he was in camp or not.
Fair point. Fair point. All right. Let me see what underdogs I'm in on that I like the best. I thought, am I not on a whole bunch of dogs in the...
You are. You're on a lot more on the prelims.
Really?
Yeah. I think you were on two each, maybe.
Okay, let me see. Yeah. I'm looking at the early prelims. All right, the prelims, the main portion. Who do I like best here? All right, it's going to come down to... no, I'm going Gain, +140. What do you think of that?
I don't hate that one. That was probably... I think that might have been my number two here. So okay. my number one, I'm going Derek Brunson.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking myself, too.
Yeah, I think that prospect loss is coming for Dragos Duplessis. And it's going to come in the form of some pretty gnarly wrestling. You're going to see all of my picks here on the Lock Dog Prop are wrestling-based. Gamrot and Brunson, baby.
All right. Prop time.
This is when you make me do your dirty work for you.
This is when you do the research for me. What's Rakhmonov via finish? Is that a decent enough number?
Rakhmonov inside the distance. You want inside the distance or do you want...
At first, I want inside the distance because this man can do it all.
That's true. He can do it all. Rakhmonov inside the distance, -175.
All right. I think that's good enough for me. So Rakhmonov, like -175, you said?
Yeah.
What would you... I'm not changing it, but what would you... guess? Would you guess knockout or would you guess submission for him? Or are you guessing neither in this fight?
You know, it wouldn't shock me to see Jeff Neal survive, but -175 sounds about right for Shavkat inside the distance.
Yeah. You didn't answer my question.
If it was going to be one of those two, I would probably say submission.
Okay. But not change it. All right, go ahead. Your turn.
All right, and for me, going back to my wrestling picks and playing off of your lock, I'm also going to take Tabitha Ricci here. But I like Tabitha Ricci by decision, specifically, because, you know, Jessica Penne's got a good sub game. You know, Tabitha Ricci has taken her last two opponents down, like, 12 times or something like that. She hasn't gotten a sub in either of those fights. And it's been since she lost to Michelle Waterson, back at like Invicta 5, that Penne is lost by decision or lost by submission. So I'm going to say Tabitha Ricci by decision, and that's only negative 120. So, yeah, I like the price on that prop.
Yep, I like that one because she's not not really a finisher. Well, she got 3 finishes in 7 fights, so I guess it's all right. But it's only 3 finishes after
and it,
all. So.
And it's mostly on her like regional career too that she did that.
Yep, those suspect Brazilian circuit. You never know what you get.
It's not Samurai Fight House though.
No, it's no Samurai Fight House. But what is? All right. Let's recap. Dan's got Gamrot as a lock. I have Ricci. He has Brunson as his underdog. I have Gain. He has Ricci via decision as his prop. And I have Rachmaninoff inside the distance as my prop. And now, two-fight parlay is going to win you lots of money. We call it the Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay, named after our superfan Hungry Jong in the Discord. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to double down on my Matthews Gamrot pick and squeeze him into the Hungry Man Jong Parlay here. I like him by decision. Jaylen Turner, don't get me wrong, I think has a wrestling deficiency sometimes, or at least a defensive wrestling deficiency, but he's also not weak in his submission game in his own right. Like his jiu-jitsu isn't bad. I don't see him getting knocked out here. So let's take Gamrot by decision here. Gamrot by decision plus 270, which is actually the way I think is the most common for him to win here. So yeah, give me Matthews Gamrot plus 270. And I'm going to pair that with a prop out of the curtain jerker here. Loic Radziboff is a fighter who, first of all, I think he's got a tremendous ground game. And he's going to be up against a guy, first of all, from Samurai Fight House, who has not been forced to fight on the ground. So give me Radziboff by submission. I think he gets it done on the mat. That one's plus 250. So if you pair those two together, you're going to get plus 1195.
Nice. That's what we like. So we got Radziboff, 1195, right. And via submission and Gamrot via decision as I'm all over the map here. So I'm going to have to get used to saying Loic Radziboff. You think he's going to be good and stick around?
I mean, he was one fight away from $1 million. So
$1 million.
Yeah. So like, I think he'll be around.
All right. He'll be around. All right. As will we. We'll be back. How's that for a transition? We'll be back in your ear holes on Sunday. Going to recap how great we did with all their picks. We also talk about how great Gumby's Friday is Friday, right? For PFL Friday picks did.
Yeah. Although one of them's already off because that's how true. PFL Challenger Series works.
Yep. All right. So we will be talking about that, all that stuff in our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. If you don't want to wait till Sunday to speak with us, get in there, or you can speak with us on Twitter if you want. SGP and MMA is our official account that Gumby runs. I'm at Jeff Foxwriter. He's at Gumby Vreeland. He's got his Top Turtle MMA podcast. Gumby's on there with some other Yahoo as a co-host, not me. Even though I have guested occasionally, not occasionally, twice, maybe. Something like that.
More than once.
And sure. I acted very, like I didn't act goofy at all. Notice I was very serious about things, so I can turn it on and off. So anyhow, listen to that. He's got Tabitha Ricci and he's got the guy who's fighting right after her,
Mana Boy Martinez.
What else? Let me see. sportsgamblingpodcast.com, that's the place to be, obviously, for all your needs in sports gambling podcasts land, articles, our podcasts, discounts, contests, all that fun stuff. And enter my pick'em contest at the very least, and you can read all my MMA writing at moneymma.substack.com. A free subscription will get you allow you to enter the pick'em contest. A paid subscription will make you a legend in my eyes, so even better. Is that it?
Yeah, I think you got it.
I'm rambling, which means it's time to say goodbye, but I'm letting Gumby do it.
All right, I'm Data Gumby Vreeland. He's Jeff Hands of Steel Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.